The talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
Valley, our number, 775-884-9910. If you have any questions or comments, we are live in the studio still with Oliver X from Art Town, who has just so much energy. We couldn't have you back on, Oliver. Well,
right on. My Art Town story. Everybody's got an Art Town story yep. that they'll never forget. Right. 10 years ago, my idols were the crash test dummies. Oh my gosh, what happened to the crash test dummies? Right. But I was a huge fan of the crash test dummies. And I thought of, now they were coming to our town. Mm-hmm. And I thought of, to play at Wingfield Park. And I was thinking up all these ways that I could meet the crash test dummies. And I couldn't even get a good seat. I was way in the back where the bridge is. And it's amazing how little pull a celebrity like me has, and it's a tragedy. You know, because now they're gone.
They are.
Those crash test dummies, they were doing okay until they couldn't find an interpreter to find out who crashed into them, what they had to say.
Well, I was telling Oliver X's story during the commercials, and he says, oh, you wouldn't believe what people do now to meet these performers in our town.
Well, I can imagine.
They do. They call. They travel from out of state sometimes with stories and, fake credentials and
I should have thought of that.
That's like me in WrestleMania. That's what I've been doing. No, seriously, in WrestleMania 30 through 35, I went backstage at every single one, and all I did was wear a fake badge. And nobody asked me anything. I went into catering, took pictures.
Yeah, Oliver, what works?
Hey, I'll never tell.
Right. So today at 4 and 6 o'clock, this is today at our town.
Right.
This Circus Bella. And I'm reading the description, the Bay Area's premier one-ring circus that keeps children of all ages coming back again and again, a classical circus reimagined for the modern world with thrilling feats and a live band. Yeah. For reals?
Yeah, they roll with musicians, so the energy's high, they're hilarious, and they do it's the old school circus that kind of comes it down and pops up, no animals, of course, but it's really funny. And everybody's really talented. You know, you got your trapeze, you got your stilt walkers, your jugglers, and your clowns, and your strongmen, and it's really fun filled, and they're really hilarious, and they're such highly nationally known as well.
Where is this going on?
That's
going
to be at Idlewild Park in the park. And
he doesn't even look at the black book. He knows it all in his head.
Come on.
Yeah,
man.
From
he's
four to five.
Four and six today at Idlewild Park.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's good. All right, so what other events do you have coming up?
You know, Sunday at the Brasserie St. James stage, right there at Center Street and Taylor in the heart of Midtown, we have Star Sound puts up a huge stage and people assemble on the grassy knoll. And it's a natural amphitheater, free for everybody who comes. And it's 7:30 to 9. We have reggae star Natalie Rise, and she's going to be there. And then every Sunday thereafter, on the 10th, 17th, and 24th, we have some incredible artists. Check out Rayleigh's, the Washoe County Public Library, the Nevada Museum of Art, and Nevada State Bank to pick up free little books. There's thousands. 57,500 this year, which is one of the highest runs we've ever done.
You better get one, because I was at Nevada State Bank at Moana Lakeside while I was, complaining about the Chevron there? $6.58 a gallon. Anyway.
You've been complaining a lot, John.
Nevada State Bank only had two left.
Oh, my gosh. Get them. Get them while they're hot.
Yes.
These are the hottest tickets in town
now. Starting to feel bad because I think I said Smith's earlier, and it was Rayleigh's now that I look back at it.
That's okay. Yeah, Rayleigh's has 20,000 of them, and they're going fast. So they're at every checkout. And we want people to go because I think the little book hadn't been on the streets since 2019.
Right.
So there's been high demand.
Oh,
and people use this every day.
You guys stopped printing it for some reason, and everybody in the town was up in arms.
They were.
I thought they'd be protesters.
Oliver, let me ask you, who designed this book? It's a pretty cool cover.
Well, that's great. Grace Larkin's design, work with myself and all of the presenters who got their events into us before March 31st mm-hmm. to be in the print edition. And you can go to arttown.org and see actually dozens and dozens, up to 100 more events that are not listed in there. So go to arttown.org, ARTOWN.org, for listings that are not found in the little book. But
I'm sure people, they don't even realize with these small events, like there could be just a random hall that has like paintings in it or
for
something.
Sure.
And
yeah.
it's not just Isle of Wild Park. There's so many venues and places all over.
Citywide, like the Sparks Museum,
the
Nevada Museum of Art.
The organization that it takes to put this all together. But yeah. I got to say, Oliver X, you couldn't have brought a contortionist. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
There's going to be. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a contortionist. Go to Circus Bella and also at Sunday, 11 to 12 noon, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, also at Idlewild Park is Circus Bella tomorrow night.
Well, John could just pedal his 10-speed down Virginia Street and be a contortionist real easy with all these crazy drivers down there. Jeez.
And I'll say, do you know who I am?
Right.
Got to meet the contortionist.
Oh, yeah. Man, this should be fun. So it goes through the whole month of July?
The whole month of July. And to riff off of what you asked about earlier, the new things, we're doing an Art Town on the Quad series starting July 5th. And every Tuesday thereafter, the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th, great artists, alumni who've gone on to great fame, like Brian Landris is playing. And he's incredible saxophonist, and he's a PhD at Rutgers, actually based out of Brooklyn, and he's coming back. He's got two big dates with us, Sunday the 17th and Tuesday the 19th at UNR. All these shows are free.
Well, I don't want to tick anybody off, but not everything is free, okay?
So you're right.
It's
you're
like
right.
The Dragon Lights are like $35 or something.
An admission.
It's a spectacle.
Oh my gosh,
it's something people still talk about from the last Art Town and everything like that. And
so true.
And the money's got to come to, you know, build up this organization.
Well, this Dragon Lights
even better next
thing,
year.
It's got to be. I mean, like, I know out in Fernley, didn't they have like 100,000 people out there for that Lantern Festival or something?
Yeah. It's amazing. People will not miss this. It is beloved. It's one of the most popular events ever at Art Town.
That is
something
so cool
to see for the whole family.
All right, well, ladies.
That and the contortionist.
Yeah, now you know what John's going to be there for sure. Either way, ladies and gentlemen.
Can't you get the crash test dummies to come back?
Right. Art Town.
Oh, they crash and burns. I'm sorry.
That's mean. Get out of here. Oh, my gosh. Arttown.org is where you can find all these events. Oliver X, anything in parting you want to say?
Yeah, check out ARTOWN.org, arttown.org. For more listings, and go out and pick yourself up a little book and enjoy Art Town. 31 days, 600 events.
All right, it's going to be fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have been here with Oliver X of Art Town. Get on out in the month of July. Have some fun with Art Town. Most of the events, most are free. Should be a good time for friends, family, and whoever. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be right back. We have got some fire safety to talk about. We're going to be talking with the Captain Reno of the Reno Fire Department.
Fire Marshal Bill.
No, it's Willie Sear. Not Fire Marshal Bill. Like Bill Burns from In Living Color. No, this guy doesn't burn. He sears people.
Thank you for correcting me.
Anyways, we're going to be back with Captain Willie Sear of the Reno Fire Department to talk fire safety and 4th of July next here on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
It is Weekend Nevada, live and local with John and Jay on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
John Potter here. Hey, folks. On Monday night, Independence Day on the 4th of July, we are going to have fireworks. As Queen Elizabeth will say, the colonies are getting quite rowdy tonight.
That was the worst queen impersonation I've ever heard.
Don't leave, sir. Don't leave. That was it. Fireworks galore. I mean, there are many locations where there are fireworks. Reno has two. Sparks has one. Tahoe's bringing them back. Virginia City. But really, we're here, I think, mainly to talk about the illegal fireworks, which is a persistent problem in this area. From the City of Reno Fire Department, Reno Fire Department, Captain Willie Searer, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's so good to have you here.
Was that the Queen? Anyway. All right. Well, hopefully we can save the Queen. God save the Queen with this one. If she has a house here in Reno Sparks and someone wants to set off some fireworks around, it's illegal, right? I mean, it's completely illegal.
Absolutely. Even the safe and sane stuff that comes from California
right.
is illegal. The only place you can legally set off fireworks is up at Pyramid, Lake Pyramid, the Indian colony up there. We'll sell a permit, sell you the fireworks, and they have designated areas where you can shoot. Other than that, they're illegal.
But, Captain, we say this every year, and every year, two doors down, back porch, they're shooting them off. Not where I live now, but the last place I was at. It's persistent. And what can people do? Do they call you and report this? And
they can report it to 911. Okay. We'll send a fire engine. Reno PD will send police officers. We have an on-call fire investigator. So there'll be a response if we get a call. It is a misdemeanor. It's a $1,000 fine, 6 months in jail. If you border BLM or U.S. Forest Service land and you cause a fire, you'll also be responsible for cost recovery. So whatever it costs to put that fire out, you'll pay for it.
See, we didn't have this problem, as I recall, in the 70s when I was here. We have illegal fireworks all year long now, it seems. People hear firecrackers a lot, and then they all go on Nextdoor.com and ask if they were gunshots.
Well, they're selling them at the native reservations
exactly.
no
but
matter what.
Have you been here a long time? Have you noticed a change? Or is it a cultural thing that folks from other areas are bringing this with them?
Yeah, I've been here 24 years, and yeah, we have had an influx of people from other states. A couple of years ago, we did a combination patrol with Reno Police Department. I rode along with a police officer, and we responded to fireworks calls on July 4th. And we got UNR students that are from other states, and they brought the fireworks with them. They're legal there. And they're shooting them off, and there was one couple. They were sweeping up all the remains of the firecrackers, and it was a pretty big pile. And so we just did an educational stop with them. The event was over, so we couldn't charge, but we explained to them it's illegal, and they had no idea.
Right.
Folks, you don't want your neighbor to ever tell you, your backyard fireworks were great. Your house burning down was spectacular.
That's never spectacular for sure. You know, Willie, we were talking about earlier out in the lobby about other ways, you know, to prevent fires, not just fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be real. We're getting into fire season right now. And so, you know, I'm just waiting for that news, that breaking news almost every day at this point. You know, when are we going to be covering something big going on fire-wise? What are some other things to think about other than just fireworks? I know earlier you were mentioning chains on vehicles.
Right. So if you have a boat or a trailer and you're towing it, make sure your chains are tied up, not just hanging loose, because if they drag, they create sparks. So sparks are hot enough to start roadside brush on fire. And we have had we've had fires here where vehicles are driving down the freeway and the sparks from the chain or from a poorly fit rim or a spare tire they're still driving on have caused brushside fires. And we know that that's what causes it because we'll have five or six small fires all along the road. And we know it's from a vehicle driving down where it's creating sparks in some fashion.
Captain, right. Did you hear that because of the fire danger, North Lake Tahoe, instead of fireworks, they're going to be having 150 drones in the sky to replace them. And these things are programmed. They'll look like the American flag in the sky and everything. That's a big move.
Could be the future.
Personally, it's kind of sad. It's not going to be the same. I mean, these things don't even make noise like fireworks do. But that's how serious things have gotten, how dry the area is.
Well, as you're aware, many years ago we had two catastrophic fires here, one in Collin Ranch and one in Washoe Valley, within months of each other, one in November, one in January.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally not wildland season for us. And since then, the Reno Fire Department and our neighboring fire departments have taken the position that We don't have a fire season anymore.
Oh, wow.
It's year-round for us. Because unless we get a really significant rainfall or snow load, we still have the cheatgrass from the previous season. And that's one of the things, is that if the cheatgrass isn't crushed by the snow, then the old year's fire load is still there when the new year's comes in. And that just increases the fire danger.
My gosh. Hey, you don't even think about that really until it happens. But so what are some other things maybe to think about as far as fire danger and preventative measures that people can do here in Northern Nevada as well?
Sure. So let's talk about what's going to happen this weekend. People are going to barbecue. They're going to cook on an outdoor cooking appliance. So the big thing that a lot of people forget is radiant heat. Those barbecues, especially the propane barbecues, will get up to 500 degrees. Mm-hmm. Those need to be 10 feet away from the house or combustible structure. Fire code requires it, but in single-family residence, that's an exception. We don't enforce it there.
Right.
But we have had fires on apartment balconies, not from direct flame impingement, but because the wood structure of the balcony was too close to the barbecue. Disposing of cigarettes. We've had several fires where people they keep a 5-gallon bucket on the back patio. They throw their butts in there. Well, you get a windy day, that last butt will be fanned and it will ignite the old butts.
Right.
And then we end up losing 2, 3, 4 apartment units because of that fire.
You know, a lot of people are surprised that sparklers are considered illegal fireworks in this area. They are, right?
They are. Okay. And part of that is because of the heat. That metal rod gets really, really hot. As a child, I burned my hand on one.
Mm-hmm.
I learned real fast how hot it gets. If that gets dropped into dry brush, it's going to cause a fire. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Even the Safe and Sane fireworks, a lot of them are essentially a rocket motor, and they blow out flame. They have the ones that dance and all that. If for some reason that fails to work as function, it becomes an M80. It explodes. And, of course, it's a serious heat source. So if it dances its way over into brush, and again on that patrol I did with RPD, mm-hmm. we found a large supply of them because everybody scattered when black and white showed up.
Right.
But they were on a street, but on either side of them was large fields of dry brush. So.
Wow. Did you say to call 911 if you see somebody with illegal fireworks shooting those off?
Absolutely.
Really? Okay. What's the fine?
It's a minimum $1,000 or 6 months in jail.
Wow.
It's a misdemeanor. And it's regulated not only by our local ordinance, which adopts the International Fire Code, but also by state law.
It's interesting what you say where these illegal fireworks come from, because we assume it's all from Wadsworth with the shops out there in that colony. But as you say, a lot of people come from out of town, tourists and such. They bring it from the states where they're coming in from. Wow. We can't put a sign on the highway or something to remind people that, because I think a lot of people don't even know this. They think Nevada is wide open and we have few rules here.
Yeah, we got legal booze and hookers here and marijuana and all that stuff.
It's
I mean, why not?
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of, except for fireworks and bump stocks. You know, everything else. My gosh. Well, you know, something else I wanted to talk about, too, just and I'm sure you can attest to this, and it's not even necessarily about fire for 4th of July, but man, have I noticed that when the fireworks start going off, you get a lot of dogs that are loose that start getting scared and they start running the streets as soon as those booms start going off from the fireworks. So I want to remind people, because I've just I personally have seen this myself during the fireworks events, dogs just running crazy because they're hearing all these booms. They don't know what's going on. So please secure your dogs, folks, when these fireworks are going off. That's something I just wanted to mention while I was thinking about it here, because there's the animal shelter has tons of animals that they pick up during the 4th of July fireworks, and then the day after, pretty busy apparently over there.
Yeah, and let's consider our servicemen who have PTSD. And that's a serious issue.
That is, you know, that's one thing that isn't talked about a lot, and clearly it's not a fire code issue, but coming from a military family, absolutely. You know, we got to consider, we even have, you know, there's a large refugee community here, and they have come from an environment where gunshots and explosions are an everyday thing. And so they're going to react to that. That's gonna affect their quality of life. You know, if you have we have the regular performance fireworks. GSR's got a great shoot this year. Wingfield Park, Pops on the River. They've got to shoot every year.
And Aces Ballpark.
Yeah. Aces Ballpark will be shooting this year. And Damani Ranch will have another large display this year. So those areas people know and they can prepare. But yeah, if all of a sudden big thing starts booming in your backyard and your neighbor is unaware you're going to do it, even if they don't have PTSD, that's going to have an effect on them.
What made you want to be a fireman? Was it the sparkler that burned your hand? I mean, no, I'm curious. I mean, did you have a bad experience or somebody you know?
Well, you know, it's funny because I have never been a fireman. I was hired as a fire inspector. I did fire inspection for 15 years, and then I promoted up to supervise and train fire inspectors. It's just it's a call to serve. Again, I said I come from a military family. I have generations of my family were in the service. I grew up as a military brat. Didn't really like the lifestyle where I'm told where I'm going to live and what I'm going to do, you know. So I wanted to be of service to the community, but not quite that much service. So between law enforcement and fire, you know, I was looking for my niche and I found it in the fire service, and it's been a great 24 years.
Yeah, we're honored to have you here, and wow, thank you for your service there.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, at least we got a chance to talk about some fire safety here because it's very important, very needed going into 4th of July. I think it's something that, like, folks are just thinking about the barbecue and having fun with friends and family. They're not thinking about safety all the time, you know?
Yeah, no, that's the core of my job. I want to throw a plug out.
Yeah.
If any of the audience has any other questions, they can reach out to their local fire department. If they're within the city of Reno, the number is 775-334-2300. We'll be happy to answer questions. I'll probably be the one taking the call. If you're in Truckee Meadows or in Sparks, call your local fire department and ask your questions. Get guidance. They'll help you. We're not looking to get you in trouble. We're looking to make sure that you stay safe and that you have a good weekend.
Very well said. Well, as far as it being dry in a dry season over here in Northern Nevada, hopefully in 2024 we'll get enough liberal tears in Northern California to make it nice.
There he goes again.
What? Just saying.
There you go.
I love
go
the smile
again.
On his face. That
you
being
have
said,
seen his face when I mentioned the Miss Nevada being gay. It's just unbelievable.
Anyways,
the veins were sticking out of his forehead.
I'm not upset. I just don't care who the person sleeps with. Anyways, that being said, we're gonna be right back here on after we get some local news here with John and Jay on Live and Local on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Each and every Saturday morning, it's John Potter with Jay Biggs. I think we're all going to need boxing skills at the airport this holiday weekend.
Yo, Adrian, I made it on the plane.
There's those kind of guys. And in fact, there was a guy from Gardnerville recently, I think, said that on a plane. He got fined something like $5,000 or something.
There's some fisticuffs going on the plane. That's why we brought the boxing man, isn't it?
I'm almost afraid to go anywhere. You know?
The boxing man's afraid to go anywhere.
We got Dave Coelho in here, and he's going to talk to us. He was with the Nevada Boxing Commission, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And no longer.
Nevada Athletic Commission.
Yeah, Nevada Athletic Commission, that is. And, man, there is a lot going on. We were just looking online. We heard that it looks like the boxing has been taken off the Olympics for 2028 and due to corruption.
That's big.
Yeah, if that's the case and this is true, then that is huge. That is very huge.
Well, they've been talking about this for a long time. It's been in the, you know, it's been a rumor for several years now.
Where's the corruption? And they said widespread corruption, by the way.
Well, it's just that it's just in the decisions, you know, they favor just like it. Professional boxing, you know, they favor the money guys, and wherever the amateur fights are, they favor, you know, they favor the favorite, you know, whoever they're for. And there's been just some blatant in amateur Olympic boxing, pro boxing. There's just been some blatant decisions.
Has it always been that way?
Well, you know, it seems to me like it goes up and down, you know, and but lately, it's been, I'd say, like the last 5 years or so, it's been really bad. When I first got on the Athletic Commission, one of the oldest inspectors that was on the commission, he came up to me one day and he said, "Hey, Dave," he goes, "man," he goes, "this is really a corrupt sport we're in, you know." And I said, "Nah," I go, "it used to be that way back in the back in the old days when the, you know, when the mob was running everything. I go, right. I don't think it's like that now, but I found out after being on the commission that it's really bad. I got to the point
where
I was,
state commission or?
Yeah.
Nevada
yeah,
State yeah, Boxing
yeah,
Commission.
Yeah.
Do you have a gym in town or?
Well, I have a gym at my house. I have like a training camp set up. I have an acre.
Oh, nice.
I'm out in Spanish Springs. And I actually have two gyms. I have an indoor gym and an outdoor gym. So I've been training guys out there.
Well, so tell me this, Scott. Dave. As far as what you do now, are you involved in any events going on, boxing or anything right now? Or are you just doing home training?
Right now, I'm just doing like personal training.
Because yeah. I met you out doing the Ultimate Reno Combat events when I was ring announcing.
Right, that's
for them.
When I was an inspector, and I used to referee a lot of the college matches here. And I used to be with the UNR boxing team.
Yeah, El Dorado, there. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I was with them for about 7 years, and then I got on the commission, and then I kind of had a dispute. They came to me one day, and because I was training fighters, it's always been my, you know, I pretty much did everything in boxing. I was a referee. I was a judge. I even announced some fights.
Right. I was going to say, before. I've seen you everywhere at all these events.
Yeah. And then I got into the MMA. I started working all the MMA, and I actually refereed some professional MMA fights.
Oh, nice.
And I started training, you know, MMA fighters
I thought boxing people feud with MMA people. They don't like it.
Or, it's a vital part of it. Kinda.
You know, that, you know, boxing has been so down. It started back in 2008 when the economy went, you know, things just started getting slower and slower. And then MMA was just growing at about that time. And I think the MMA took away a lot of that because I've met people that told me, you know, I used to watch boxing, but I see all these bogus decisions they have in fights. And he said, I don't even watch it anymore. I watch MMA now.
You know what MMA looks like to me? It looks at Jay. Don't take offense. It looks like the guy. It looks like the guy is playing whack-a-mole on the other guy's head, and nobody is saying stop.
What? And don't. I'm not offended. I mean, I think 90% of MMA looks like cuddling. I mean, you know, when you look at it, like the guys are down there and they're holding each other down.
Yeah. Well,
but that's easy to say when you're on the outside of the cage. You know, you're not a participant.
Right, right,
you're actually fighting someone who's strong.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you get the really good guys in there, you know,
they're throwing hands.
Yeah. You get a better quality. Like when I used to work, we used to do all the amateur fights.
Uh huh.
And they were, you know.
Well, I still work for King of the Cage and for Rick when he runs shows. We were just talking about that earlier. But you know, the thing is that we had one of the girls from King of the Cage in here, and John couldn't believe she was like 98 pounds. And I told him, I said, man, watch, when she gets in there, those girls are going to throw hands and they're going to go crazy, and the crowd just loves it.
Oh,
they
yeah.
eat up, especially those girl fights.
Yeah.
Isn't it, I got to say, isn't it funny when you're watching boxing or MMA on TV with your friends and your buddy goes, if I were him, I would have jabbed him more. I'd get up in his face.
That's what I'm saying. That's me.
I swear,
I'm like,
that's
but it's not the case.
That's what my friends say. I would have cornered him and hit him with my right.
Get all the armchair quarterbacks. You know, I hear it all the time.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, there's so few people like boxing guys and MMA guys that really know the mechanics of the, you know, so many fans out there give their opinions, or they'll say, oh, that referee, he's the best referee. And I'm thinking to myself, the referee's terrible, you know, but they don't know, you know, they don't know.
Well, I'm starting to wonder how this is going to affect my USA Boxing gig that I do, because I, you know, I do the announcing for USA Boxing at GSR every year. So I don't know if we're going to do that come 2028 because of it's off the table for the Olympics. Who's qualifying?
I have an issue.
I'm sure they'll probably.
I have an issue with boxing. Why is the ultimate top prize in boxing a belt and a purse? Could that be even less masculine?
A belt and a purse? Well,
right.
That's funny.
It's all that money that's in
the
purse that makes it.
Yeah.
I'm offended.
they throw the purse away and they keep the cash, right?
Exactly. That's hilarious. I didn't think about that, John, but that's the case. Well,
no, so what do I know?
Tell us about the Reno boxing scene right now. Is it hot and vibrant?
It's horrible. It's really bad. You know, back in the early 2000s, you know, I mean, I used to work fights every weekend, amateur amateur boxing. We had a big pro boxing. College boxing was real popular. And now it's
yeah, it was big for a while. They were yeah. doing those Fallon fights and stuff.
I used to go every this time of the year. I would be every weekend all over northern Nevada. You know, all the Indian reservations had boxing clubs, and we had fights every weekend. The Boys and Girls Club would have 3-day tournaments in the summertime, and it's gone now. The Indian reservations. I talked to one guy that is with one of the reservations down in Shurs, and I guess they're trying to get things started back up. Things are
in Shurs,
but things just yeah
Ugh.
Yeah. Hey, there's wow. They used to have the Hinkies. They were from McDermott.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's an Indian reservation. They used to have put on boxing shows there. We used to go to Lovelock, Winnemucca, Ely, Shurs, Gardnerville, Dresslerville, Urington, all over.
Are the Lame brothers There's still nothing, doing nothing, show? Nothing. The Lames?
The last I saw the Lanes, I went to the UNR boxing matches, was it about 6 months ago or something like that? And I saw them there, first time I've seen them in years. And right. they were working with Top Rank, and they had a boxer, that this Chinese heavyweight boxer that they were promoting and stuff. And other than that, I don't know.
What, huh. What was your childhood? Who was the childhood boxing
hero Ali,
of yours?
Muhammad Ali.
Did that get you into boxing?
Well, I started watching boxing with my father. We'd watch Saturday night fights when I was like 4 or 5 years old.
The old black and white
dad,
show.
Yeah,
on
and
Friday
my dad
nights,
would I'm... my dad would always say, "Let's make a bet on this fight." Which he goes, "We'll bet 5 cents or 25 cents or whatever," and he'd say, "Which guy do you pick?" You know, and so I'd look at the fighters, and I always picked the guy with the biggest muscles, right? Well, that was my first lesson in boxing, was the guy with the muscles doesn't always win. Right?
That's in any fighting, honestly,
yeah,
man.
Right.
Just
exactly.
The right hit.
Yeah, look at
I remember that show, though, Friday night. It was black and white, and I remember seeing Cassius Clay and Sonny Liston.
Well, I was going to say, the first time I ever saw Cassius Clay, he had a fight, and I had no clue who it was. I watched the fight, and he looked good. You know, he won a decision, and they walked up to him after the fight, and they said, "Cassius, how do you feel?" And he said, like a champ. I feel like a champ. And I was like, wow, this guy is something. You know, because, you know, all the boxers back then, they were all super humble and mm-hmm. soft-spoken. And this guy's yelling, I feel like a champ.
That's why I like pro wrestling, man. You get all these characters
right.
and stuff
well,
like that.
That's where Ali picked up his persona, was from watching
Gorgeous
George
the
wrestler. Yeah.
And as kids, we wanted to be like him, but I float like a butterfly and I sting like a butterfly. So
yeah, well, I got the opportunity to meet him and hang out with him one time.
No kidding.
That
really?
Was like the highlight. Wow. Yeah, that was like my two idols when I was a kid was Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, and Elvis Presley.
Right.
And I saw Elvis in concert like 4 times, and I almost ran over him one time.
No kidding.
My that's quite a story.
My idols were Cassius Clay and Hubert Humphrey.
And who?
Hubert Humphrey.
Hubert Humphrey. What? Yeah, he was one of my idols too. I forgot I left him out.
Wow. All
Don't
right.
Give me that look, Jay.
Well, you know. Hey, I want to remind everybody that we have a podcast you can listen to. It's posted 10 minutes after the end of each and every hour. So you can go and check that out at 991fmtalk.com. Just click the drop down and then podcast, and it's right there for you. But this has been fun. Dave Coelho, how can people find out about you and your services as far as teaching boxing?
Okay, well, I'm out in Spanish Springs, and I do occasionally I go to people's houses and train them at their houses. And I do, you know, I do mostly everything at home now. I used to, you know, work at all the gyms, the local gyms around town, but I like staying home.
Right.
Now. So, yeah, they can reach me, you know, through my phone, which is 775-750-4666.
4666.
And, I'm pretty flexible on, you know, on times and prices and
Well, if you want somebody credible and you want some boxing coaching or some self-defense of any kind, I mean, this is the guy.
I was a certified personal trainer back in the 90s. I did that. I mean, I've been an athlete my whole life, and I'm a gym rat. So I'm in the gym every day.
He's in good shape, too. I mean, you can't physically see him, but the guy's in, he's a good looker for his age, man. I'll tell you right now. All right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you check out Dave Coelho. Of course, you'll see him out at anything boxing here in Reno and anything combat sports-wise. We are going to be right back. We have got Juicy's. Juicy's and Sparks. They are going to be on with us. Rocco Polino next. Here is the owner on 92.1 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media, KKFT.
Yes, 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 yes. It's Weekend Nevada. John Potter with Jay Biggs. And our next guest is in. Hey, Jay.
Hello, everybody. It is Live and Local with John and Jay. Don't forget that podcast, 991fmtalk.com, and our number, 775-884-9910. If you have something you want to talk about, or if you have a question or comment for our next guest, please, by all means, 775-884-9910, please do call in. Now, our guest this hour here is going to be the owner of Juicy's over in Sparks, Rocco Polino. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Jay. It's good to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you on, man. I mean, I've known you for like 20 years now or something like that. We've worked in radio together.
Gosh, goes back to what, the old Triple R days.
Yeah,
back,
man.
Back on the 14th floor.
Yeah, downtown.
I'll tell you what, my man, Juicy's gets the Potter seal of approval, especially the fries and the chili, okay? The best. Yeah, they're steak-cut fries. Nice and crunchy on the outside. That's what you're known for. And old burger, no one understands our love.
Yeah.
I looked at that double cheeseburger you have, and I said, you look like my next mistake.
Well, I do like to point out that I am, you know, we are individually owned and operated. So right. I own the Sparks
Juicy's. Well, I like your place.
At 104 East Glendale, and we are the only Juicy's that has a char broiler. So you're getting that flame broiled flavor on our sandwiches that you wouldn't otherwise get at another Juicy's restaurant.
Do you use scoops of ice cream in the shakes?
Absolutely. So
I use
ice cream, no syrup.
See, a lot of places don't do that. How can you make a real shake without the ice cream? That's how it was in our time.
Absolutely.
Ice cream and the big metal cup and the green blender. And I like how the strawberry shake you do has these chunks of strawberry right in it.
You're absolutely right.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, well, I see you're starting to scream for that ice cream, John. It's all good.
What happened to your Tahoe? You had Tahoe and Carson, didn't you?
I did not. I actually owned three other restaurants in the mid-90s called Rocco's, and they were known as the Burgers, Burritos, and Booze restaurant. I was known as the home of the Killer Bees.
On Mill?
I had it over here on Mill. I had one on South Virginia that is now, I believe, a Coach's. I had the little bar that Winners Gaming asked me to turn around for them across the street from the Bonanza. So I have a long history of making cheeseburgers and really good food in this area.
Right. So you also have a history of making some salsa.
Oh, I love my salsa.
This guy just brought us in some samples, and he tells us, he goes, here's some samples of our salsa. It's more important to me than Juicy's. What he said. So you know what? Though I got to tell you, so this stuff is sold at Juicy's.
It is.
If you want to know the what he's talking about, if you go to Juicy's, you can actually buy the salsa there. Do you use the salsa on any of your products?
Well, actually, the Not That Hot. So I have two flavors: Not That Hot, and then the hotter version, which is called Woohoo, That's Hot. The Not That Hot is what we use as our house salsa, and that's what goes into our breakfast burritos, which is a huge big seller for us at the Sparks Juicy's, our breakfast burritos in the morning.
That's right.
You don't do TV commercials, but that's okay, because every burger chain that does TV commercials, the burger looks stupendous, big and tall, magnificence. And you go there to these places and you get one, and it's a flat so. It's a flat so with only ketchup visible sticking out the side.
Or it's square.
Now, your Juicy's is known for the thick patties.
Correct.
Unless someone asks for a piece of leather.
Well, as compared to like the fast food patties, which you can see through.
Right. So we use a 3rd-pound patty, and we do get them locally. And so when you get a double cheeseburger with us, you're getting something close to 10 ounces. So maybe a little bit more than 10 ounces. So more than what you see advertised as, hey, we have a 1/2-pound cheeseburger, and people don't realize that 2 3rd-pound cheeseburgers are bigger than an 8-ounce burger. So
How did you start with this?
Well, you know, I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad owned pizza places all my life growing up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And for some reason, it was just in my blood. And, you know, I have a little quick story. I have a hot dog on my menu called the Rock Dog that has actually been duplicated by another restaurant or two in the area. And I stole this recipe. I was 15 years old, and I remember seeing it. It was from a little grill on the Penn State campus. And it was this hot dog, and I can't remember what they called it, but it was a quarter-pound dog stuffed with cheese, wrapped with bacon, and deep-fried. And I smothered mine with tomato, cheese, and onions, but I call it the Rock Dog. And people would travel from all over to my Mill Street location years ago just to get that dog. So it was a welcome addition to my Sparks Juicy's menu.
I was going to say, I didn't see it on the menu, but that I went to the other one last time, so I'll check that Sparks thing out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Rocco, we do have about a minute before we go to break. I do want to keep you on for one more segment because we need to talk about a few things. Just tell some folks here, what's the major difference right now, you know, that you can tell between you and all the other Juicies? Like, is there any difference that you can tell between you and all the other Juicies locations?
Well, again, first and foremost is the flame broiled flavor that you're going to get from our sandwiches due to the char broiler. The other thing is, I believe the other two Juicies have like maybe 6 to 7, 8 things on their menu.
Mm-hmm.
I have roughly 50 things on my menu.
Right.
We do a burger of the month, which is fantastic. And I mean, I've actually had people come to me to request that we do a certain burger of the month next month. So when we do reopen, we already have our two burgers.
Remember, I suggested the Primanti brothers, or remember that one?
And I did. And
you did
and
it.
I did the Primanti brother with the French fries and the coleslaw right there on the sandwich.
We need a J-Biggs Big Mouth Burger.
No, we have a Kansas City burger. That's my burger. That's because I'm a Kansas City boy. All right, folks, stick around here. We are going to keep Rocco on from Juicy's and Sparks. We're going to talk about the fire he had and when he's going to be back open. Stick around here. It's John and Jay live and local on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.